In this edition of the Law and Liberty podcast of the Chalcedon Foundation, I have as my guest Sam Blumenfeld, author, educator, and advocate for getting the government out of the education business. Sam also was a dear friend and colleague of Dr. R.J. Rushdoony, and my 2011 series, Remembering Rush, on the 10th anniversary of his death, would be incomplete without hearing from Sam. Thanks for joining me today, Sam.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Andrea.
It was Rush who first gave me a stack of your books. I think it was back in 1984, and he took great delight in pointing out that you were considered public enemy number one with teachers' unions around the country. Rush strongly advocated for homeschooling families to read your books, and it was thanks to his encouragement that I chose Alpha Phonics as the reading program for my two daughters. So I'm curious, Sam, how did you first become introduced to Rush and his work?
Well, it was basically at a conference in Denver, Colorado, a Christian conference. I forget the name of the conference, but it was a lot of different ministers came from all over the country, Protestant ministers. And it was a conference on reform religion. And I met Rush there, and he was very intrigued with my books, particularly Is Public Education Necessary? Because I had done a study of how the government got involved in the education business in our country. I was very curious as to why the American people put education in the hands of government so early in American history when we had this tradition of educational freedom. And so it was quite a revelation when I discovered that all of this was done by the Harvard Unitarians, working with the Owenite Socialists, who went underground in order to push for public schools, for government schooling. And this was all news. This was new to me, and I guess Rush really appreciated what I had to say about the difference, about the changes from the Calvinist worldview that existed in New England before the Unitarians took over. So there was a lot of interesting material there that Rush could, you know, put his teeth on. And he invited me to join the staff at Chalcedon. And so I did. And I did accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my personal Savior, because I believe that he was indeed the Messiah that was called for in the Jewish scriptures. I figured that if a Messiah was going to be brought to earth, if God was going to introduce a Messiah, it would have to be for the very purposes that Jesus came to earth. In other words, to extend the covenant beyond the Jewish people to the rest of mankind, and that made a great deal of sense to me. So I joined Rush, and of course, being a member of his staff, I visited Vallecito many times and had a wonderful relationship with him. I can't tell you how much I appreciated what he was doing for me and his help to me. And I miss him very, very much. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't think of him. And I just sorely miss the fact that he's not around and hasn't been around now for 10 years. And there's so much going on that I would have liked to share with him. And I'm sure the same goes for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm often asked, as people talk about current events, or especially events in the last decade, what would Rushdoony have thought? What would Rushdoony have thought about this thing or that thing? Would you care to give your opinion on how he would view the current state of, for example, homeschooling in America?
Well, I think he would be encouraged by the growth of homeschooling, because it certainly is a huge movement in America, you know, involving millions of parents and children now. He would be encouraged by that, but also he would warn us about the dangers involved as government grows larger and the socialists take over, and of course they want to control everybody, and they don't like the fact that homeschoolers are escaping their indoctrination. And as a matter of fact, what is going on at this very moment is that the NEA has been pushing for public school preschools. In other words, they want the government to take over the preschool business, and so they're putting many of the private preschool out of business, preschools out of business. And so they're going to take control of the children from birth onward. And of course, they eventually will want to destroy homeschooling. But I think that they're going to be biting off more than they can chew. The homeschool movement is not about to fold and submit to the will and the wishes of the education, the liberal socialist education establishment.
Well, do you care to elaborate how they're going through putting the preschools out of business? Because I know a lot of churches will run preschool programs. How do they plan to do that?
Well, but they're making regulations, such onerous regulations that most private preschools simply can't stay in business. They can't. They're unable to take in all of these regulations. They can't deal with these regulations.
So are these the regulations as to do with the number of teachers per student or how much square footage they have to have?
Oh, absolutely. Every possible means to make it impossible for private preschools to exist. You know, you got to be certified, you got to be this, you got to be that. And the state legislators that are controlled by the liberals are taking the bait. For example, I was in Vermont last night speaking to homeschoolers there, and they told me that the Vermont legislature, which is extremely liberal, is in the process of passing new regulations for preschools, for private preschools, that is going to put them out of business. And of course, that's one of the resolutions that the NEA passed at its last convention. That is to bring the whole preschool system under government control.
Well, I'm aware of the fact that locally, Christian schools have a hard time getting in business and staying in business. One such school is closing its doors this June because of all the additional requirements, like having to remodel the bathroom to accommodate wheelchair ramps, even though they've never had a student apply that's in a wheelchair. They had to spend a considerable amount of money on trash enclosure, even though the church had existed for years without it, because the school, which actually had fewer people that came to the church on a regular basis on Sundays, and so it just got to be too much that the cost of what they would have to charge to have people come to the school became something that the local population couldn't handle.
Now, is that in California?
Yep.
And so it's your California legislature that has enacted all of these new regulations.
Right, and they're always come under the banner of zoning regulations and permits. And just to start the whole idea, a group of people say we'd like to have a private school, families come together, it becomes increasingly difficult.
Well, I'm sure they're going to try that sort of strategy on the homeschools as well, requiring all kinds of things of parents and homes. And who knows what's going to happen. We're in for big battles because the socialists are in power. And the socialists mean business. They love dictatorship. They just want to destroy American freedom. As a matter of fact, I've just written an article on what is happening, what Obamacare is going to do to the elderly. Obamacare is going to destroy thousands of lives of the elderly because they will withhold treatment for people whom they consider to be useless. socially useless. I don't know if you've been to a nursing home lately, but I was one to the other day visiting my sister in a very well, beautiful nursing home, and yet you see a lot of people slumped over in their wheelchairs and requiring expensive treatment. And of course, with Obamacare, that treatment will be delayed, and they will expect those people to just die. I mean, you have to understand that the socialists are the masters of mass murder. You know, in the 20th century, we've had mass killings, mass murders by the National Socialists in Germany, by the communists in Russia, by the communists in China, by the communists in Cambodia. They seem to love mass murder. And the way it's going to happen in America is that the elderly are the most vulnerable of Americans, you know, and they will convince younger Americans, well, these people should not be permitted to spend, you know, that their lives are not worth saving.
And right. You should say second only to children in the womb, elderly
yes.
are the most vulnerable.
Right. Abortion is really part of the plan. I mean, they've been killing millions of unborn children. Now they have to focus on the elderly because they are also vulnerable. And most of people today are not interested in preserving the lives of their grandparents, especially if they're into dementia or they have, you know, any number of diseases that are very, very expensive to treat. And, of course, we are being told that we don't have any money for that. So that will be the excuse, you know. Money will be the excuse, and the government, of course, is going to run the entire health system and do what socialists always do, and that is kill lots of people. You know, but of course, homeschoolers are young and vibrant, and they're not going to put up with this.
Right. And I think one of the contributions that we both have to say Rush Dooney made, especially in his Institutes of Biblical Law, is create a paradigm, really recreate it in the sense of this is what the Bible says, this is how we should live across all disciplines, so that there really is a road out of this mess. Because it would be so easy to get discouraged and say, the government's too big, they've got the military on their side, they've got taxation power on their side, they can print money, all things that the average family can't do. But the power of God's word is stronger than any of their devices.
Well, there's no question about that, and it's no question that that's what moves the Tea Party people. They are basically people who adhere to the Bible. But America now is at the brink of the end of our constitutional republic and the beginning of the socialist superstate. We are at that brink, and I believe that the election in 2012 is going to show us whether or not we're going to cross over into that brink or sort of come to a screeching halt just before we reach the cliff and can be prevented from going over the cliff. But if Obama is reelected, I would say that we will be in the socialist superstate, and it will be very difficult for Christian Americans to put up a resistance, and it may even result in some form of violence. I don't put it past that. You know, we went through one civil war in which over 600,000 Americans were killed. And here we are facing a situation which is almost comparable, although the shape of the forces are different. But you have a lot of people in America who don't want to live in a socialist superstate, and they want to return to our constitutional republic. But who knows what's going to happen? I'm not a fortune teller.
Right, right.
I'm not a prophet.
Right. Well, I can say this, and it's, you know, you have to look at things not so much in terms of numbers, because Rush always was a proponent of the fact that dedicated minorities are the groups that change things. And so it's not that, there's an overwhelming number of people who are so in favor of socialism. It's the fact that a dedicated minority has positioned itself to carry forth their own agenda. But because homeschooling and good Christian schools, because a lot of them do, although a lot of them are probably a lot closer to public schools than we'd like to think, but because people understand liberty, because people understand the foundations of the country, and as you pointed out, the Calvinistic underpinnings of it, I think that there can be a boldness to resist the bullying of socialism in such a way as to effectively share the message of the gospel, which is tied into the message of God's law, because they go together as a way out of this mess.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's what I hope takes place. And that's why I'm encouraged by the Tea Party movement. I'm encouraged by people like Sarah Palin. But you have to realize that the socialists in this country are true haters. Have you ever seen an individual who has become so hated by the left as Sarah Palin? I'm sure that if they all had buttons that would kill Sarah Palin by the push of a button, they would do it. They're not averse to that. You know, we don't have a kind of sweetheart socialist movement in this country. These people are as vicious as socialists have been in any situation. They are as vicious as the Nazis. They're as vicious as the communists. And I think American socialists are even more vicious than some of these others who have destroyed countries.
Why do you say they're more vicious?
Because of the hatred that they spew, you know, with no cause, no real cause. That the hatred that they spew on the right and on the people like Sarah Palin, I mean, this is unheard of. Why do they hate her the way they do? I mean, this hatred is so imbued in them. That's why I think that they can be as vicious if they had total power. In other words, I think that if they had total power, they would have no qualms about killing off the people they don't approve of. I really believe that. And that's because all you have to do is look at history. And Americans are no different. American socialists are no different from the socialists in the other countries who have done just as bad. Now, you might say that, well, aren't there some good socialists? Well, you name them. I don't know of any good socialists. I mean, they'll say that, well, Swedish socialism is okay. Yeah, that's because they haven't gone all the way. There's still some capitalism in Sweden. And then you have to realize also, Andrea, that the left in this country, the socialists, have joined with the Islamic terrorists to destroy capitalism. They are working together, the far left in this country and the Islamic terrorists are working together to destroy capitalism. I hate to be pessimistic, but that's the way I feel at this time, you know, because I and Rush have been fighting communism for over 50 years, and we've enjoyed seeing a kind of restoration of basic biblical conservatism in this country, especially through the homeschool movement. And yet, what do we have in Washington? We have a communist in the White House. We have had Americans die fighting communism in Korea, in Vietnam, all over the world in the Cold War. And yet, we have a communist in the White House. How come? How could that possibly have taken place? What happened? Well, what happened, Andrea, is that the socialists took control of the American public school system very early, back, you know, as in the 30s, 1930s, and started to indoctrinate Americans so that now about 45% of Americans basically are socialists in their orientation. And that's all due to the education system. And most Christians today still put their children in these godless schools.
And that's the reason that we spend a lot of time encouraging people to read Rush Dooney's stuff, because I believe that children who were raised on socialism, it's like a fish. Does the fish know he's wet? I don't think they really understand. They think the socialists and the communists are across the ocean and it never comes here, because they really haven't made it a priority to understand biblical law and how the foundations of our country were in agreement with biblical law, as opposed to the trends today away from it.
You ask the average American high school student if they can tell you the difference between socialism and capitalism, would be at a loss for words, because
right.
They're not taught that. And they're taught that socialism is good and capitalism is bad. It's as
right.
simple as that.
And even though they wouldn't have, even though they wouldn't have their iPods and their iPads if they really and truly lived out of a socialistic mindset.
Well, but they don't understand how capitalism works. You see, all they've been told is that profit is bad, capitalism is bad, corporations are bad, you see, and that socialism is wonderful, and utopianism is wonderful. And I remember once an elderly person, a socialist, was being interviewed, and he said, "Oh, I'm just an old utopian." Well, it's the utopians who have been the mass murderers in the 20th century. And, you know, you're supposed to think of an old utopian as being some kind-hearted old man. No, he's a murderer at heart.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't admit it, you see. They get away with murder. They've gotten away with mass murder in the 20th century. And now they're trying to do it here in this country. Of course, they can't do it the way it was done in Nazi Germany. But as you know, when Hitler took over, what was the first thing that Nazi doctors did? They killed off all the useless people in the insane asylums, and they killed off the feeble-minded because they said that they were socially useless. And what do our schools teach the children? Well, are you familiar with the lifeboat survival game or the nuclear fallout shelter survival game, in which kids are required to choose who will live and who will die, and they have to get rid of the useless people? The kids are being, indoctrinated to accept the extermination of the so-called useless, which will include the elderly. That's what's going on in America. It's horrible.
And you could say the reason we're in the situation we're in is because the socialists have prevailed. I think Rush Dooney would have said, because the church has failed to be the tutor to Christ as it's supposed to be by pointing people to the scriptures. And in that vacuum came a state that was more than willing to take up where the church had not done its job.
Well, and as you also know, Andrea, the mainline churches are liberal.
Sam, don't you think that closer to home there is the fact that you have all these people who profess faith in Christ and yet continue to send their children to public school because it's quote-unquote free, when in fact they're lazy? They may be those who profess Christ, but they don't live it out as a confession in their life.
Well, not only that, but I think that most Americans simply do not recognize evil when it's right in front of them. You know, to my mind, a man like Barack Obama is evil. I mean, when you look at what he does, what he says, and the fact that he is a socialist, that he was trained by the Alinsky people, who are socialists. Here it is. We know that Saul Alinsky was an inveterate socialist who wanted to get rid of capitalism. And yet, the two top people in our government are disciples of him, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. She's our Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could two disciples of the worst of the socialist agitators in America take over the top of our government? It just shows how much power they have and how much backing they have by individuals who hate God but love power.
That's why I think the emphasis needs to be, and one of the reasons that I sought out people who knew and worked with Rush to talk about the man and his contribution, is that even though he's 10 years gone, his works live on, his lectures live on, and Chalcedon has recently made all that he's written available for people to just go to our website and to start reading it, because I've experienced, and I'm sure you have as well, when people read his books, whether it's The Messianic Character of American Education or his histories and the foundations of local government and being scripturally based, I think that that's when eyes get open and people start taking seriously their job as interposers, that we petition God to have mercy on us, but there's no reason for him to have mercy on us if we're not obeying what his word tells us to do.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I shared the Chalcedon booth with Michael Raymond.
Paul Michael Raymond.
We were both at the homeschool booth, and there was, and he put up a beautiful display of Rush Dooney's books. It was just beautiful. And I was there when many people came by, and they all asked, well, who was Dr. Rush Dooney? And they would look at his picture and read a little of his bio, and I had to tell them who he is. I said, well, he was America's foremost Calvinist writer, and it was all new to them. Now, these are homeschoolers. These are people who simply didn't know anything about Rush. So this is very worthwhile. I'm happy that Mark has decided that it's time for Chalcedon to get into the homeschool movement. And that's why I'm happy that he is publishing Alpha Phonics and How to Tutor and The Little Readers, because I told him, I said, the future adherents of Chalcedon are going to be from the homeschool movement. You know, that's where you're going to find them.
And if I might add that an important aspect of education that does not happen in government schools is teaching children phonetic reading so that they can do things like read the Bible, so that can do things like read original source material about the founding of our republic,
right.
Something that you don't get in the normal everyday curriculum at state schools around the country.
Well, I would say that most college students probably can't even read the Federalist Papers.
I agree.
So we're dealing with a dumbed-down public.
Well, the other thing I'd like to add on that is that recently, I forget where I was, but there was this civics test that came up while I was going through the internet, and it said, take this test to see how well you know about your country. And before I took the test, it noted that the average grade on this test was 45% for the average adult and 55% for the average college educator. Well, of course, that was a challenge that I was going to try to make. And so I went ahead and I took the test, and I ended up with a 91% in terms of understanding the history of my country and how our country is set up. And I would venture to say that most homeschool moms would do as well as I.
Yeah.
And the funny part is that if it's 55% of college educators, well, either they intentionally don't know or they're the product of bad schooling themselves, that people should not only make it a point to have big families, but to really educate their children, because 30 years from now, we are going to see how it all plays out. Who has God blessed and who has God judged? And it's my hope, of course, that the people of God wake up to their responsibility, that it's not about that we grow up and have kids and have grandkids, and it's only about having a nice, comfortable life, that it's to advance the kingdom work that Jesus has left us to do.
Right. Oh, yes, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what I hope happens. But it's going to take years before we can reestablish education that has some meaning for the public at large, because, you know, for many years I thought that the public schools would just go out of business like dinosaurs, you know, that they would die out because of what they were doing. They're not teaching. But when socialists take hold, when the evil take hold, they don't let go so easily. They don't let go. And that's why it's up to us, as you say, the minority of believers, to do everything in our power to make our group larger, so that we have more troops in this war. And of course, that's the way to do it, is by getting Rush Dooney's books to readers in the homeschool movement. They are the most people susceptible to Rush's teachings.
And I would go one step further and say that if you know other Christian families who you believe are sincere in their faith, you should be a faithful friend and hammer these people to remove their children from their local public school and encourage them to educate themselves well enough to go ahead and teach their own children, because they really are doing a huge disservice to their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren by allowing their own children to be taught in a substandard and fallacious way, because they're not getting the real history of our country. They're not getting an understanding that God blesses faithfulness and he judges unfaithfulness.
Well, you know, we have a monthly meeting here in this area of conservative Republicans. And the other day, and we get about, you know, 50 to 100 people attending these meetings. And most of the meetings are devoted to candidates for office in the legislature and that sort of thing. And I was able to speak at the last meeting about the reissue of my book, Is Public Education Necessary? You know, American Vision has come out with a new edition. And I asked the audience there, how many of you have children in the public schools? Almost all hands went up. These are conservative Republicans, and mm-hmm. they put their children in the public schools. And I told them, what you're doing is terrible. It's awful. Half of those children will be destroyed.
And so I really do believe it's time for people who get it to admonish those that don't and not get off the topic. You know, we've come to a point where it's supposed to mean that you're a good Christian if you're nice. I was recently listening to one of Rush's sermons on the Sermon on the Mount, and he reminded listeners that Christians are called to be salt and light, not sweetness and light.
Yes.
And it's time to get back to the idea that this, to recognize the war and that we're soldiers for Christ. We're not, you know, fans for Christ. Jesus didn't call us to be his fan. He called us to be his servant, his disciples, and to go out and change things.
Well, you know, recently I was getting lots of greetings on Facebook, my birthday greetings. Birthday was on May 31st, and in my response to these greetings, which I thank people for them, I also said, we all have a purpose in being here, and that purpose is best fulfilled by serving the Lord. You see, when you serve the Lord, then you know what your purpose is. And I hope that people take that to heart.
Good. Yeah, I do too. And I thank you for your contribution. I thank you for the books that you continue to write. And people, if they're interested, can acquire a number of your titles by going to www.calcedonstore.com. And currently we do have Alpha Phonics that people can purchase if they're new to homeschooling, and what they want to do is start their children correctly from the beginning to learn how to read phonetically. And Sam, just one thing, do you have a personal story that you would like to share about something that kind of speaks to you of the kind of man Rush was on a friend-to-friend basis?
Well, as a friend-to-friend, nobody could compare to him. He had a, it was a remarkable thing to be his friend. I mean, he appreciated you. I never felt so greatly appreciated as when I was in Rush's company. And that, of course, that's a great enhancer of your self-esteem, to be so wonderfully appreciated by a man who was, to my mind, one of the greatest Americans that ever existed. And so I miss him very, very much, because there's nobody else around who can give me that sense of appreciation. So there's something very personal there that I got through that friendship. And incidentally, you might also mention that Chalcedon has published two books of essays that I've written, Revolution Via Education and The Victims of Dick and Jane. And hopefully, I understand that How to Tutor will be coming out also soon.
Well, thank you, Sam. And for our listeners, check out our store online, check out the entire website, and join me next time for another edition of the Law and Liberty Podcast.